It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 336. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions on any technology topic or recommendations for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can also leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me two ways. One, Twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and also on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Want to take a moment and just wish everybody a happy and safe holiday season and a very Merry Christmas. Christmas is this Saturday. I'm recording on Wednesday, December 22nd, and I'm almost ready for Christmas. I still have a couple last-minute things to do tomorrow. That's why I moved the show recording up a day. Next week's show will be my annual New Year's Eve show. So join me live on Ustream New Year's Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and I will record my New Year's show, and then hang out for as long as I possibly can until I drop, which I guarantee will be at least till 3 or 4 a.m., maybe even longer. So let's see how long I can last. Let's dive right in. I have selected a few email messages that I want to cover because they're going to lead to the topic for tonight. So I only have a couple, but I'm going to spend some time on my answers. This is an email from Rich Gallagher. Hi, Mike. I'm a regular listener to your show. Although I usually hear them a couple of weeks later, I have also been using your Amazon link when I buy stuff through Amazon, and I wanted to make a suggestion to your other listeners. I went to the Amazon site from your link, and then I saved a favorite in my browser. So now, whenever I go to the Amazon site, I automatically use your link. It takes no effort from me, but I can support one of my favorite podcasts. I wanted to work that in, and I couldn't think of a better way than reading that email. And I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link. And you've been doing a great job this month, as I can see the residuals and helping the show. So thank you very much, and please continue to use that link. He continues, I also have a suggestion for you. I don't ever listen to your independent music. It's not bad, but I have a hard enough time keeping up as it is. Since I don't listen to the music, I rarely hear your promos. Why don't you put the promos before the music? That way, those who don't listen to the music would still hear them. Thanks for doing your show, Rich. And Rich, when you sent this email to me, I've actually took your advice, and the last few shows, that's exactly what I'm doing. I want to thank you for that, and that is a great idea, and that's why I just worked in the promo with your email. Thank you. The first link tonight is a link to a weekly newsletter that is produced by Kate, who's a longtime regular listener and computer consultant in Canada. Kate's weekly newsletter is Getting Along With Your Computer column, and I have a link to this week's article, and it's How to Survive a Tech Christmas. This is perfect for the novice user who is torn when they get the printer and what cable is needed and what you may need for HDMI cable for a TV, a printer cable, that USB cable. She goes over a lot of the basics, the Ethernet cable, Now, to a lot of you listening to this, this is very, very basic. And some of you are like, oh boy, this is just too simple. But think about the people around you. One of the things that I learned a long time ago, listening to Leo Laporte, his tech guy show, his radio show in California, is the way he would explain simple things to the typical user. And experienced and expert users, like a lot of you and myself, can learn how to explain and present items. So I take that all in because that's important where you might run into a customer or a family member, a mother, a grandparent, somebody that will need a way to explain. You know, you need that simple way of communicating. It might be the use of a term. I'll never forget when I was teaching a long time ago, Lotus 123, and there was someone who was also, I knew, who was teaching that class, sat in on my class. And at the end of the class, I said, why are you sitting in? And he says, I'll learn something every time I listen to you. He says, I never knew that the word to use the word anchor when you hit a period to anchor cells so you can collect a group of cells together. I would have never thought of the word anchor until I heard you use that. And I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. To me, it just came naturally as I was teaching it. Those are the little things that might make the difference in helping someone succeed. So that's why I like Kate's column, and I will occasionally recommend you to subscribe. You'll get a notice when Kate posts it up, and I'll have the link so you can subscribe to her newsletter, and then you just click on the link and you can read it. And some of these articles you may want to forward to some of your customers or family members to break down some of the complexities that we take for granted because we live and breathe this every day. Thank you, Kate, for putting that weekly article together. That's a lot of work to come up with a topic every week and to do that. As Kate knows, just like, you know, as I prepare for the podcast each week, it is a lot of work and we put a lot of time into it and we want to make sure that we do a good job. Here's a great question, and this is from Lou, and this is the Lou Trek Show in the chat. He says, hi Mike and fellow Mike Tech Show family members. If Mike had a Stump the Tech Guy segment, I think I might give him a run for his money. I am looking for a solution for someone to send me a large file or several large files without a middleman. Recently, I had a guest on my show fill in for me and record a show while I took a little vacation. We needed a solution for him to get me the WAV file. Now, the WAV file is going to be real big. When I record a show, I do it using Audacity at 96,000 hertz. When I am done editing it through Audacity, I use DB Power Amp to compress it to an MP3 file. The WAV file that Audacity creates can be as much as 2 gigabytes in size sometimes. No service available, especially the free ones, will allow you to transfer a 2 gigabyte file or chunk of files that make up the same size. I would like to grant him access to a folder on my hard drive. He lives in Indiana, I live in Nebraska. I need a solution that would be as easy as him mapping a network drive that will be a folder on my hard drive. That way, he can just deposit the file in the folder as if it were on his own drive. I assume he would have to enter my IP address and the folder name, but I am stumped on how to set this up. I also assume you need to set up a port forward on your router to send it to the proper computer. If someone can show me how to do it, even if you can, please let me know. In fact, pretty pictures would work best. Thank you, Mike, and everyone. And on behalf of everyone at the Lutrec Show and the Costanzo family, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Thank you, Lou. Two solutions that I want to talk about. You really have to have the middleman because you cannot have a share directly open on the internet and exposed for someone to just map to. The risk is too great. Plus, you need a way that everybody has their own private IP addresses behind their routers, and then they have probably a dynamic IP address that's public that their individual ISP router is obtaining, and that can change. So it makes it very difficult for you to directly just make that connection without any middle piece assisting you. So I'm going to recommend two solutions that you can investigate. One is FileZilla. It comes in two parts. It's a client and a server. And it's a way for you to set up your own FTP server, and you can host it on your computer. You can create an account for your co-host who can then log in and send files and FTP them. I use FileZilla all the time. As a matter of fact, that is how I transfer files to Libsyn. It's how I transfer files to my website that's hosted at GoDaddy. It's so fast, I even use it to transfer files sometimes to my iMac. I also use it to transfer files to my Apple TV. So I even use it internally. FileZilla server is very easy to set up. It's not difficult. And Lou, if you want, I can work with you on testing that and actually trying it. And we transfer a couple files and then you can easily set it up. Once you select the account, you create the account and the password, you can then set up, as Winston just mentioned in the chat, a secure FTP connection, which is over port 22. And it can be a very secure way of transferring files. Another excellent way is LogMeIn Hamachi. Now, LogMeIn Hamachi sets up a virtual VPN, a virtual private network that you create with a public IP address that only you can attach to or give a password for someone else to attach. When you install LogMeIn Hamachi, it is literally a virtual network adapter that is installed on your computer. So it looks like a piece of hardware, but it's not. It's a network adapter, a virtual network adapter that connects into the Hamachi cloud with a specific, yes, a 5. IP address. And now you will get a unique IP address for your machine. Your co-host can have one, and that is a perfect way for him to map a drive to your computer where each of you are using Hamachi. You want to pick a very strong password for making that connection, and then you want to secure the way you communicate that password to your friend. So this way, they can connect into your virtual private network, and it's a piece of cake. Winston put a link in the chat for generating strong passwords. I recommend that. Also, and this is from Steve Gibson's Security Now, has done many shows a long time ago in the beginning of the Security Now podcast. He went over Hamachi and all of the technical details behind it, which you don't care how the sausage is made. You just want it made and you want it working. So I think these are two great ways of communicating securely to be able to have unlimited file transfers. And I wanted to take this time to talk about this because this is a lot of you out there, I know, have this same question. How do we securely transfer files between friends, between family, between a customer. A couple great methods for securely transferring unlimited size files that nobody can intercept or stop. You're just at the limit of your bandwidth, your upload and your download speed that is provided by your ISP. Lou, let me know. There are great tutorials online at both of those sites for FileZilla and Hamachi. Let me know how you make out and report back. This, I received today a distress email from Norbert Davis, who is a longtime friend of the show, and he is a Totally Cool Tech podcast. He says, having a blue screen of death Christmas. Help. Mike, I got a blue screen of death around the first weekend in December, which seemed to occur after iTunes updated and after removing the USB key that I was using as the ready boot device. I thought nothing much of it, as I have not had a blue screen of death in over a year. Then it started to blue screen about every half day. I thought it might be related to memory as well, so I ran that against the Ultimate Boot CD's mem testing utilities. All memory passed. I used SpinWrite on the hard drive, and it turned up nothing either. Then Patch Tuesday hit, and that seemed to increase the blue screen of death frequencies to about every 2 hours. I pulled out every card, stick of RAM, cable, and connector, and blew out the unit. Very little dust, amazingly. Then reseated everything. I did restore back as far as I could go with the system restore. It just got worse. Yes, I ran an antivirus. I have a paid version of Avast, and I keep it updated. I can run in safe mode and no crashes. Well, except for when I was running some command line utilities, FFC, which is system file check. And let me tell you, system file check can be dangerous. So when I did that SFC /scan now, it actually gave me a blue screen of death in safe mode. I have never seen that before. The system is also trying to update system files from after doing a restore after Patch Tuesday's update, but cannot finish. I can't get 5 seconds past getting to the user desktop before the system freezes and wigs out, and then a blue screen of death. My best guess is that I have a corrupted Windows 7 install at this point. I figure I will lose all my settings and that I need to just do a clean install. Is there any trick to recovering my user data? Do I need to boot with a live CD and then copy all the user data files to another computer, then do a fresh install and maybe put the user data back? I have a Windows 7 64-bit recovery DVD and my original Windows 7 64 install disk, valid OEM license copy. Norbert, here's what I recommended. First, on one of those boots, let's make sure that the hard drive is good or bad. So I asked him to download on another computer Crystal Disk Info, download it, put it on a USB stick, put it in, and when it boots, run that quickly before it blue screens against the hard drive in the system, and let's see if the hard drive's bad. Once we know the hard drive is good, then I would agree with you that it is a corrupted Windows 7 install. You have two ways of getting the data off. I see. One, make a BART PE bootable disk. And I've done many shows on how to do that. Once you get a BART PE disk, you will boot and have and before you even boot up, make sure you have an external hard drive plugged in, USB. Once you boot, then you'll be able to copy the data off the one hard drive because it'll see your original C drive, your original hard drive, it's in the system, and there'll be no errors or no problems, and now you'll be able to cleanly copy everything you want and be able to copy it to an external drive. I have even an easier way. Since you had taken everything out, pop that hard drive out. Buy that $25 cable that will convert any drive to USB. It will convert SATA or IDE to USB. Pop that little adapter on the back of the drive, go take it to a working system, and now you can run Crystal Disk Info against it. You could run SpinWrite if you had to. Also, now you can grab all of your data. So you got two really good methods of getting your data off that won't involve booting the operating system that's going to keep crashing. That's why I wanted to cover this, because this is something that I'm sure a lot of you run into, this kind of a problem where the operating system gets corrupted. Maybe it's something you installed. Maybe it was a patch or an update from Microsoft or another driver. Once it kills your operating system, that's it. You're done. Now you just got to get the data. And I'll tell you, I think having that little adapter is so much easier than even messing with building a BART PE, because although I like that and I have that, and I still have my old ERD Commander disk, which they don't even sell anymore. I love that disk. And it still works, and you can reset administrator passwords, and it enables me to get into any system and boot up and be able to copy data off, because sometimes I get lazy, and if it's complicated to get the hard drive out of an older computer, sometimes I will assess the situation, and it might be easier for me to use BART PE than it is to dig and figure out how to open the system and get the hard drive out. But I only go through that effort when I know the hard drive works and that it's not bad. That's why I like you to run Crystal Disk Info against it first, because if you're dealing with a bad hard drive, hey, game over. Let's just get the data off and you're going to be buying a new hard drive. Then do a clean install and you're going to be better off. Be careful what you're backing up, Norbert. Just back up key data files that you need. Your audio, your video, pictures, whatever. Your Word and Excel documents, any data files or databases from programs. I wouldn't go any further than that in terms of settings, because we don't know what is killing your operating system right now. So I only want you to restore data that you know, this is my data for these particular programs. Let me know how you make out. I know Norbert was going to try to make the show live tonight, but I emailed him this morning, the minute I received his email, and he was at work, and I gave him these suggestions. Thank you, and Norbert. This is from Adam, and this is the last email for the night. This is a follow-up to show 334. A couple of things for you. Firstly, in relation to your listener on show 334 asking about antivirus products, I'd like to chime in with a recommendation for Sophos. We are using it at my current place of work to cover approximately 3,500 users. And it offers not only antivirus, but also application control, a client firewall, and endpoint protection, removable media, cameras, iPods, etc. That's something I didn't get into about Sophos, which is one of the things we liked about this with my client last year, when we were doing an analysis for what is the best antivirus to deploy. And my client had 400 seats, and we selected Sophos. So with 3,500, I'm glad to hear that in that size of an organization. Data leakage protection and NAC. In addition to this, they offer a home user program which entitles you to install their product onto your user's home PCs, as well as their work ones, with a couple minor limitations. See Sophos.com for details. Now, before I continue, that is very nice from a licensing standpoint that Sophos and now some of the other major antivirus companies are starting to do. If you buy an install for your corporation, they sometimes, and Sophos always does this, they grant all of your employees a license to install that on their home computers. Think about that as a benefit. You know, you got 3,500 employees. Think of how many systems that is for at home. That's a great idea. Keep that in mind when you are evaluating the total cost of ownership of an antivirus solution. He goes on, finally, because they only offer an enterprise product, their support is generally much better than a lot of other antivirus vendors, as they don't often have to deal with normal users, and as a result, tend not to ask the usual stupid questions when you call them with an issue. Also, I just wanted to mention alternateavito.net. This is alternateavito.net. As I haven't heard you mention it before, it's a user editable database of alternatives to common software packages. So, if, for example, you were looking for an alternative to Visio, as you were a few weeks ago, you can search for it on the site and it will return all of the similar apps that users have submitted. It's filterable by OS as well as a license type, commercial, freeware, or open source. And I found it very useful when trying to find out other free alternatives to commercial apps and comparable apps on a different OS. Thanks for the show, Adam in the UK. Adam, great, great email. Thank you very much for recommending that site and also your endorsing Sophos. I appreciate that. That is it. I have a voicemail and then I have two songs that I'm going to play.
Hey, Mike, this is Alan in Maryland. I just wanted to wish you and your family a happy holidays, and thank you for a great year of podcasts, and I'm looking forward to another year of learning from the best teacher in the podcast world.
Thank you very much, Alan, and same to you and your family. Alan recommended this next song that I'm going to play, and it's a Christmas song by Coldplay.
Christmas night, another fight, tears we cried a flood. Got all kinds of poison in, of poison in my blood. I took my feet to Oxford Street, trying to right a wrong. Just walk away, those windows say, but I can't believe she's gone. When you're still waiting for the snow to fall, doesn't really feel like Christmas at all.
Light up the street. Maybe they'll bring her back.
those Christmas lights keep shining on.
Very pretty from Coldplay. It's called Christmas Lights, and I will have a link to that. Here is my final song, which has become a tradition on my Christmas podcast. I've played this the last few years. It is my favorite Christmas tune. I cannot have a Christmas show without playing this. Give a listen, and then I'll wrap up.
Thank you.
That is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. The song is called A Christmas Canon. And I will have a link to the song that you can purchase and download from Amazon.com. I want to thank all of you for supporting the show and downloading it and spreading the word to get it out for the Mike Tech Show. I so appreciate that. Thank you so much for being part of the Mike Tech Show family. It means so much to me. And please have a very happy and safe Christmas. Thank you. And I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.